Hey, thanks for checking out this message from LifeGate Church. We hope that God uses this message to encourage you and to help you live in the freedom and purpose that Jesus has for your life.
So good to be with you this morning. And I was reflecting on, well, last week was Make a Difference Sunday, right? And what a wonderful, I was reflecting on that and how as a church we have this culture that everyone gets in and we all make a difference. We're part of teams, we're part of life groups, and if you're not, you're probably feeling a bit lonely. So I really encourage you to jump in and make a difference. I've said numerous times this year how much I love raising my family here. Mark and I have three daughters, and the input and life that is getting spoken into them, not just from us and family, but from you guys, is just making such a difference into them. So thank you, church. Thank you, church. Do you know what else makes a difference? Glitter. Yes. And some people, like Mel, are just ecstatically excited at the shimmer and sparkle that glitter brings. Amen. And some people are crying in distress in their seats at the difference it makes in your cleanup time. We had a kids leader start out at Preston's one day, and he made the mistake of getting glitter out on his very first day as a kids leader. And I thanked him because by the end of the lesson, there was no glitter left. Praise the Lord. But my Lily, if you've met my Lily, she has massive long curls, decided to help clean up with her hair. So she took out her hair and just wiped it across the table and picked up all the glitter. And we had glitter for weeks. It was like endless glitter through a house. She loved it. We've actually made glitter illegal in kids' ministry. And those little mysterious vials that just turn up occasionally just get thrown in the bin. Makes a difference, glitter. It sure does. I tell you. And we're in a series at the moment called What's in Your Hands. And if you've got glitter in your hands, it's going to stay there a long time, I promise. But we've been challenged about what we might have in our hands and what we could do with that, maybe why we don't do anything with that. A couple of weeks back, we had a guest speaker, Kerry Medway, who he challenged us to consider what might be the gifts that we have in our hands. And he spoke to us on Romans 12, on these motivational gifts, what motivates you to go. And I loved the context that he brought to three really key passages on spiritual gifts and these Romans 12 motivational gifts. What motivates you to go? What is it that God's placed in you that gets you going? And then he touched on Ephesians 4, where Paul talks about these leadership gifts or places where you might be appointed into leadership that God has gifted with you. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about these spiritual gifts that might be given for a certain season or a circumstance or come on you for a moment. So his challenge to us was to consider what are the gifts that God has given us. And so you've had some time to ponder that. And if you missed that message, all of our messages are online, YouTube, podcast, Spotify. I promise you, even if you're locked away downstairs, there's options and ways to hear the messages coming out of this church. That's how I get to hear them. So I want us to look today at 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 13. But instead of looking at the gifts again, I want us to, you've had time to think about that. And if you haven't, read them and think and ponder. But I want us to look at today, why? Why did God give us these gifts? And how does he want us to use them? So two chapters is quite a chunk and we don't have heaps of time. I'm going to read some, summarize some. But before I do, let's pray that God will speak to each of us. Amen. God, I thank you so much that you are here in the room with us today. And we thank you for your word that will speak to each of us today. God, open our hearts and our eyes to see what it is you want to say. Let my words today be your words, God. Amen. 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 So 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 13. Let me give you a little bit of context while you're finding it, if you haven't already. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in response to a bunch of reports he'd received about the division and the troubles that had been happening in the church. So Paul's calling the church to unity a number of times through the book. He's saying, come together, be unified. He challenges them to keep their foundation on Jesus. Don't listen to Apollos. Don't listen to me, Paul, not me. And again, church, don't listen to me today. Listen to let Jesus be your foundation. But also know that Jesus is the head and is your leader as well. He's the head and the tail. He is the foundation. He is where we grow, and he is who we follow. So what better analogy for Paul to use on unity than the human body? As Paul connects the human body with its many parts, all these fingers and toes and arms and legs, he connects this to the church body, also made up of many parts, being the people, with Christ as the head. So each part or person here today has a role to play. Everyone has something in their hands, a gift given by God to use for the good of the whole body. And each of you are important because you make up part of that body. So let's have a read together. We're going to start at verse 4. Like I said, read some, skip some, summarize as we go. In verse 4, it says, now Paul writes, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. You notice this unifying. There's the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God, one Spirit, one Lord, one God, one body, many, many parts. Different spiritual gifts, but it's all part of the body. Why? Verse 7 tells us that each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Why does God give us? For the good of all of those around us. So when you choose to follow Jesus, his Holy Spirit comes as a deposit, guaranteeing the inheritance that's coming. We read that in the book of Romans and throughout the Bible. And the manifestation, or what that Spirit looks like in us, will be different. Many different gifts. But it's for the common good. It's for the good of all. And so Paul goes on to give us a list of some of these spiritual gifts that might be given by this one Spirit. He says some will be given the spirit of wisdom, some the spirit of knowledge or of faith, or the gift of healing. Maybe you'll be given the gift of miracles, prophecy, or discernment, or to speak in tongues, or the interpretation of those tongues. If you've ever heard of a story where someone has been in a country, and or like we have in Acts, where they're speaking in the different tongues, the different languages of the people around them, empowered by this one Spirit. Paul writes that all of these gifts are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And the Spirit only wills according to God. So he empowers us, that one Spirit, apportioning, distributing those gifts to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body. Notice this word that keeps coming on, this one word that keeps coming through. So this is with Christ. For in one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of that one Spirit. Paul's talking to people living in Corinth. Corinth was a major trade city in this early Greek space of the world. There was a port on this side, and the ships would come out, put their boats on their rolly things, come up the hill, through the center, far, far away. Mother Duck said quack, and they were at the next trade center. So it was multicultural. There were people coming through Corinth all the time. So whether you were a Jew or a Greek, wherever you've come from, if you're a slave, if you're free, Paul is saying we were all made to drink of this one Spirit. Be unified, he says. One Spirit, many gifts, but it's one body. And Paul follows in Corinthians 14 to, in chapter 12, verse 14, to 24 are about a few examples of where he's seeing or hearing of division in the church in order to challenge them to be unified, to be living as one body. There's two that really stood out for me as he read. First one being people were disregarding their gifts. Oh, if I'm not a foot, or I'm a foot, but if I'm not a hand, I'm no use to the body. No. Disregarding your gift doesn't disqualify you for a gift. If I look at my foot and say, oh, I wish you were a hand, it doesn't suddenly change. That's what it is. So whatever you are thinking about your gifts, disregarding your gifts doesn't change it. You're part of the body, whatever you think. The body needs all of these parts. So maybe you're thinking, oh, but, you know, we just need eyes. We need to be able to see. No. We are all part of the body and we need all of the many parts. If you just think of the example of Monsters, Inc., Mike Wazowski, the eye monster, he still had arms and legs. He didn't just roll around. We need many parts to the body. Paul was also hearing of people judging others' gifts or feeling judged. Oh, I don't have this gift. I'm not worth part of the body. Or people going, I've got this, so I don't need you. So whatever judgments you are making or whether you're feeling, that doesn't disqualify you. You are part of the body. God has composed the body, he says, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. Why? So that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Because if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Micaiah hurt her baby toe the other day doing some flip. And it was interesting watching her for the next few days because every randomly I go, is your toe okay? And then she'd be like, whoops, stirred the wrong way. And her whole body collapses because when one part is not quite working, our body doesn't function properly, right? When you've got a migraine, it's just game over. Over. If one member is suffering, we are all suffering. But if one is honored, we will all rejoice. On Easter Sunday, we will all rejoice as our youth and young adults and whoever else is keen to be baptized is baptized here, and we will rejoice together as one body. So, wanted or not, if you've chosen to follow Jesus, if you are sitting here today as a follower of Jesus, you are the body of Christ. And individually, you're members of it. So why? Hopefully this isn't a trick question. Why has God given us these gifts? For unity, that we may be one, unified together. You each are an important part of this body. And God has given you gifts, and he wants you to use them for the good of all of us here. But I said today I was sharing two things, not just why God wants us to use our gifts, but how. Paul finishes chapter 12 by saying, I will show you a still more excellent way. There's something greater than unity. There's a more excellent way than just using my gifts. It's the motivation behind using those gifts. And Paul wants to challenge the Corinthian church that this more excellent way is to love. And we hit 1 Corinthians 13, which is often quoted at a wedding. Oh, I love you. I love you forever, you know. And I love weddings. I love it. I love it. But if I look at this passage in the context of you've been given these gifts and you're to use them for unity, and then he says, well, if you speak in tongues of men and of angels, if you have the gifts of word of knowledge or of interpretation, if you can speak in tongues of angels, but you have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, or a vibraslap. So if what is spoken to you isn't spoken in love, if it's not to bring unity, if it's not to build up and for the good, you can think of this. Not listening. I'm not listening. If you had to listen to this for the rest of the time I spoke, you'd be asking me to leave, correct? I don't need to hear that. I don't need to hear that. So if you hear something and you see the motivation behind someone, you can just la, 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 la. No, I don't need to listen. It's not spoken in love. He goes on to say, if I have prophetic powers, that sounds good, an understanding of mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. Wow, that's a strong love. Prophetic powers. But if I think, oh, I don't know what that's going on about. If I think my prophetic powers are awesome, they're not mine at all. If I build a platform of prophecy or of knowledge or of faith that becomes my identity, that becomes something about me, I promise you, the platform built on me will fall. Social media shows us that. But a heart of prophecy, to prophesy and teach and to believe in faith from a position of love, motivated by love, led by love. And if we read 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 tells us that God is love. And as we live in Him, His love is perfected in us. I promise you it's not perfected in me yet. But He is perfecting it in us. It is His perfect love that drives out the fear, that drives out the fear that requires people to build a platform on themselves because I feel so insecure, but I have this gift so that I am something, right? But without love, I am nothing. He says that if I give away all I have, if I deliver my body to be burned, but I have not love, I've gained nothing. So if I have this gift of generosity, but I'm giving for tax cuts, or if I have this sacrificial serving, I'm going to martyr. But if I don't do this with love, if I'm doing it to prove something, oh yes, I sacrifice, gain nothing. Nothing. If I'm using my gifts, it's not from a heart to build up. If it's not for the common good, if it becomes part of my identity or for my own personal gain, nothing. It's not caring for the body. The body. Remember this analogy of body. I might be looking after me, my body, but I'm not looking after the body. I might think this hand is awesome, but I might be slapping myself across the face. In the world, if I say I don't need this hand and I cut it off, we call that self-harm in the physical world. Let's not self-harm our body. But Paul says, love is patient and love is kind. Love does not envy. It is not it does or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, and it is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Now that is a strong love. And anyone who is married knows that that is the love required for marriage. Amen? And all of you might be sitting there going, oh dear, this is where I failed in love this week or this morning. But it's okay. Because Paul wasn't presenting anything that Jesus had not already modeled. And if as we live in love, God is perfecting his love in us, then we're on the road to being patient and kind. Amen? So let's have a look at a few examples of how Jesus did show us how to love. Well, he said, love is patient. Jesus was often found saying, oh, you of little faith. But he patiently waited for his disciples. He challenged them and he called them out. And then he waited patiently for them to grow. He said, love is kind. And Jesus was kind when others weren't. When the disciples were saying, hey, children, back off. Jesus hasn't got time for you. Jesus said, let the children come to me, for the kingdom belongs to them. Jesus was kind. He was not proud. Jesus washed his disciples' feet and showed us what it is to live as a servant leader, to lead others in love as we serve. And Jesus rejoiced in the truth. He said to Pilate when he was on trial before his crucifixion, he said, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. He did not delight in anything that was about to happen, in the evil that was happening around him. But he rejoices in the truth. Why? Because love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things, endures all things. He endured. Jesus bore the cross for us, trusting in God's plan to give us a hope and a future, a plan that we would believe. And for those who believe, God has given the right to be called children of God. So knowing this, Jesus endured the cross because love never ends. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that Jesus looked for the joy set before him. He endured the cross. He rejoiced in the truth. And because of that, he could bear all things and endure the cross. Because love never ends. Prophecy will end. Tongues, knowledge, miracles, wisdom, healing, all of that will end. But love will never end. So church, whatever gifts God has given you, they are your part of the body. It's not my part, it's your body. We're one body with many parts. Why? For the common good. To bring us to unity under the head that is Christ. A few weeks ago, we did a devotional by John Bevere, and I loved the quote in there where he said, your gifts are not for you, but they're for others through you. So whatever you have in your hands, whatever you've been pondering that you have, or the gifts that God might have, they've been given to you for the good of the church, for the good of our LifeGate community, to bring unity and to build us up. So have a little think what that is, and maybe you're sitting there going, I still don't know. Well, let's ask. You can come forward for prayer at the end of this service. What has God gifted me with? And if you see someone looking a bit lost, tell them. Speak out what you see in the people around you. What a gift Leslie is to step up and lead us in worship today, and the heart that she has to worship, and to bring us into an encounter that says, I'm nothing unless you come, Jesus. that she could bring that for all of us today. And once we see what is in our hands, I wonder what is your motivation for using them. So my two challenges are, make sure you're using it because it's not for you, it's for all of us. But why? What's your motivation? I pray that your motivation is to build others up and to bring unity for the good of the people around us. If your gift has become part of your identity or a way where you're trying to make something of yourself, let God reveal that to yourself and don't hate on yourself about it. Just surrender that to God and say, God, show me how to love. Say, I'm sorry, God. I want to love. Because what if we lived unified as one body? What if our every motivation was for love and for the building up and the good of everyone around us? What if we followed that great commandment that Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself? Imagine the unity. Imagine the health in the body of Christ. In this culturally diverse body, and if you think of the body on this planet, like the body of Christ beyond LifeGate, imagine how the world would see the church if we refused to be divided, but we stood united. It would make a big difference, not just to our LifeGate community, but to our wider community, to our nation, to the world. Amen? That really excites me to ponder and imagine that. And if you're sitting there today and you've been pondering things of God and maybe you have not yet chosen to follow Jesus, maybe you want to become a part of this body, I want to pray with you right now, and then I want to pray with all of us as part of the body, all right? God, I thank you so much that you sent Jesus. I'm really sorry for going my own way, for doing my own thing. I choose to follow you, Jesus. Please show me how. I thank you for your one Holy Spirit that is in me now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Welcome to the body. Now, for the rest of us, whatever is in your hands, you might come forward for prayer and just need some life spoken over you today. Or you mean to speak to the person around you. I'm going to invite Leslie and the worship team to come forward because I want us to finish by just reminding again that, yeah, I am nothing without you, Jesus. So as they come, let me pray again for us and we'll stand and worship. And may we leave today following a more excellent way, the way of love. Let me pray. God, I thank you so much that we are one body with many parts, that it is your one Spirit that has gifted to us, that is changing us and making us more like you. Jesus, you are our head and you are our leader. We are nothing without you. God, I pray you reveal to us the places of our lives where we are standing on our own foundation, where we are looking for acceptance in the things that we do, not in who you are and what you've done. God, I pray that you'll give us courage to surrender that to you now, and that we will be a church that lives for the good of all the others, that lives for you, Jesus, and is led by you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand and let's worship our God and remind ourselves that we need you, Jesus. This is where you are, God. This is the place you promised to be.
Thanks so much for checking out this message. Lifegate Church has people meeting in person and online in many different locations, and we'd love to help you get connected. My name's Andrew and I lead our online team here at Lifegate Church, and it's our job to do exactly that. We'd love to help you find community, get support and prayer, and take your next step. So why don't you connect with us and take your next step at lifegate.org.au and click the next step button.